welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. This is Jessica, and I'm so glad to be with you for this episode. I have a great guest for you today. I'm speaking with Ellie Holka. She is a Christian singer-songwriter who has the most beautiful voice. She produces the most beautiful music, and she recently released her sophomore album called Red Sea Road, and I have so been enjoying that in the background of my life lately. I'll link to everywhere that you can purchase her music. But today we're going to talk about motherhood. We're going to talk about the role that motherhood has played in her life and what her personal journey has looked like. Her own personal experiences have really shaped her music and her writing and the messages behind that she shares. So today we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about her music, her motherhood, and her life experiences that have led her to where she is today. So I know that you're going to love getting to know Ellie just like I did. So let's get to it with Ellie Holcomb. All right, I want to welcome Ellie Holcomb today. Hi, Ellie.
Hi, it's so good to talk with you this morning, Jessica.
Oh, thanks. It's such a pleasure to speak with you. I have been so enjoying your music lately, Ellie. Your new album, Red Sea Road, is just, I don't know, it just is really meeting me where I'm at right now in my motherhood journey. So thank you for putting that out.
Oh my goodness. It is my, I just really write what I need to hear.
Sure, sure.
So I'm like, when it is resonating, you're ringing true with anybody else, I'm like, oh, good.
You too?
I just needed to remind myself.
Well, and that's how I feel about this podcast. I don't know if you're familiar, but I started this podcast because I loved podcasts, but I'm like, what would I want to hear? I was a nursing mom in the middle of the night wanting some input that was positive. And I'm like, what would I want to hear? And I'm like, I want to hear from other moms who share their journeys of things not being perfect, things being hard, but they've gotten through it and so can I. And so I think that's like true with your music as well. It's like, what are the messages that I need to like resonate on and hear again and again? And maybe it'll resonate with other people too. And I just really think it's working for you.
I love that.
Well, where am I speaking to you from today? I know that you've been traveling around and everything. So where are you today?
I am so happy to say that I am back home in Nashville.
Awesome.
I did about 11 of the last 13 days I was gone and working. So that's about as busy as I get.
Sure. So that's pretty busy.
Yeah. So I'm happily in Nashville, which is great. I had spent the whole morning with my kids.
That's awesome. Well, for people that may not be as familiar with you, will you just give a little background on yourself, Ellie?
Sure, absolutely. So I grew up here in Nashville, Tennessee, and it's where I live now with my husband, Drew Holcomb, who was my best guy friend that I swore I'd never date. So we got married, and he is a musician as well, and we toured together for 8.5 years. Mm. And then I actually quit to be a stay-at-home mom with our little girl, Emmy Lou. We have two kids now. Emmy Lou is 4. And then Huck is 1.5. And about 9 months into my journey after quitting to be a stay-at-home mom, the Lord kind of asked me if I would be willing to go share the music that I was writing for just, I thought, myself.
Mm. So you never stopped writing, even when you were at home?
Yeah, even when I was staying at home, I never quit writing, really, because it's the way that I kind of process my life and my faith is through song. And so I just never thought that I would be sharing those with anybody else. Anyway, I've kind of walked the journey of like laying down one career to be a mama. And then since God saying, would you be willing to go out again, which terrified me, honestly. But I am now kind of, I get to be at home part-time and then working and traveling part-time with my music now.
That's amazing. Well, I love how you were content with never having anyone really hear that music you were writing. You didn't know the purpose for which you were writing those songs at that time, but it was for you. It was your passion project, and it was for you, regardless of if it, you know, made you a lot of money or brought fame or anything. The result was not the intent. It was just the purpose behind for you. I think that's beautiful.
That's right. Oh man, honestly, the reason I started writing, the music that I write now is I was memorizing scripture with a friend of mine, who's a couple years younger, who battles depression. And we kind of realized it wasn't enough to just say, like, that's a lie, that's a lie, that's a lie, because there are so many lies that we believe, but we really needed to hang on to what was true. And so we started memorizing God's word together, and it started changing us. Like, we were like, oh my goodness, God isn't lying when he says that his word is alive and active, and it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. It was changing us from the inside out, not necessarily, our circumstances, but it was giving us something solid to kind of hang on to when the shame storms rolled in. So the reason I started writing the music was because I'm actually really bad at memorizing scripture.
I am too.
But in the same breath, it was bringing so much life. So I just thought, man, I can remember 1,000 songs, no problem. So what if I just wrote God's word into the song? So it really was a way for me to remember God's promises and to say, okay, God, I believe this, but on the days that I don't believe, help me believe that this is true.
Wow. And I really believe in the power of affirmations. And so sometimes we just say, like, I am strong, I am beautiful, I'm a child of God, those types of things. But to really take it one step further and have that affirmation actually be rooted in scripture, that's really powerful.
Oh man, it has changed. It's changed my life.
Is there a certain scripture or theme that really stands out to you personally that's been a game changer?
Absolutely. It's the first one that we memorized. So, which I think is cool. And I just can't get over it. So it comes from, I love the Psalms. I just really, like,
I'm
I'm so
shocked.
grateful for David. He's like called this man after God's own heart. And yet he like kind of makes a lot of big mistakes sometimes on purpose, and he is so honest with God, whether it's doubt or joy, he is turning those cries to God. And so I'm so grateful for that. So my favorite scripture, really the first one that started changing things in my heart was Psalm 73, it's 21 through 26, and it says this: when my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will lead me into glory. For whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Wow.
Woo! That what God's statement
Wow.
is. It's like, I may fail. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion. And so that but God statement has changed my life.
Yes. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that that can have that kind of transformative power? And I think that hits moms so hard because it's like, oh, I did this, but I still failed in all these ways. Oh, I might have, made a good dinner, but I also have a messy house. This,
Right.
but all
But
day
I yelled at my
long.
kids when I was
Yes.
making
That word just negates any of the good that we do in our own mind. It doesn't actually negate the good in actuality, but it negates it in our mind. And that's where it all starts. That's where identity comes from. That's where our worth comes from. But that's not true. And so we got to release that and let go of those buts that are just holding us back from really recognizing our value, our worth, our contributions, all of that.
That's right. And to know, like, God covers us.
Yes. And we're
Like,
never going to be perfect. Yes, no,
right.
totally.
So we get to live like a lifestyle of, like, hey, okay, I did not do that perfectly, but we get the gift of repentance, of saying, okay, I need forgiveness. But and God will cover and forgive. His mercies are new every morning. So I'm just, oh, I'm so
Every time,
grateful.
every time. How did you even get into music in the first place, Ellie? Has this always been a part of your life?
It has in some way. I started writing songs really in the 7th grade, and even in I mean, my first song that I ever wrote is on my first EP that I ever recorded, which is crazy because it was just right out of, it was Psalm 108. And so I've always been writing music in scripture, always been singing my prayers to God. Like, that's just, for whatever reason, it's the way he made me. And when I sing, I believe, it helps me believe. And so I've always been writing. And then in college and high school, I was kind of like a bad version of Taylor Swift. So I was having my heart broken a lot and writing songs, like heartbreak songs.
You're getting a lot of material. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of material to work with there. So I was always writing. And then I actually got my master's in education and taught for 2 years. And I was always singing in the classroom. So I was always writing music. I just never thought that it would be my job. And I grew up in a really musical home. My dad is a producer. He's actually produced all my records. So he's been in the CCM world forever. And so from a young age, as a kid, I saw that I really didn't want to do music because I was not enamored with being famous or being some big artist. I just saw that it meant that you had to leave home. And I thought that I swore that I would never marry a musician. I really thought that I would never do music. And I ended up married to a musician and doing music with him. So I just think the Lord has a sense of humor.
Yes. And so how has that changed your life? So you did marry a musician. You didn't end up touring with him. You are doing music for your career as well. So what does that mean? You thought you were never going to do all these things. How has that changed the way you think about life in general and your future?
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I have learned really the hard way by, you know, saying I am definitely not doing that, that the place that I want to be is wherever God is calling me. Mm. Like, I want to live a surrendered yes to whatever it is that he's asking me to do. And so if that is, even though it's scared the living daylights out of me, honestly, I quit my husband's band so I could be at home with my kids. And that is what I wanted to do. That's what I kind of felt like he was calling me to do. So when he called me out of that, it felt honestly like the scariest thing he could have asked me to do. I'm
sure.
Like, no, Lord, please let me just stay at home with my kids.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I don't want to ruin them. I feel like if I say yes to you, like to do this music thing, this is going to be, there's a cost to this. I saw this cost as a kid. And honestly, my dad was gone a lot when I was a kid doing work. He would say if he was here on the podcast with us that he was a workaholic. And so really I saw God really turn his heart towards home and change our whole family's life. I'm the oldest of five kids. So the three youngers, grew up with a really different dad than I did, mainly because he really reoriented his whole life. He still works to this day, but prioritized family. So he says it's such a gift. It's been such a gift to our family. He says he can offer our family the love of God and then the gift of walking in repentance and saying, okay, I did not do this right. And will you forgive me? So that has been such a freeing thing.
Sure.
To know, like, we do not have to do this parent thing perfectly, and we won't. Like, right. We're going to mess this
yes.
up.
And what an example to you to see somebody that you respect and love, you know, in a parent, to realize that you can do the same thing, that you don't have to be stuck in one way of living life or viewing things. There's always a chance. And when you can see somebody humbly kind of apologize and repent for that and then truly change after that, it gives you a lot of hope that if you were on a path that was not right, maybe this singing path wasn't going to turn out like it was the right thing. You could always change it. Like, we're never
always
stuck.
Turn around. Yep.
Yeah.
So that for me has been what this music thing is.
Sure.
I have held it with the most open hands. And
wow.
I just say, okay, Lord, if you want me to follow where I feel like you're calling me to do, I think the lie that I believe is that if I say yes to what you're calling me to do, it will destroy my family. Honestly, that is like the enemy is a punk. And so, so my commitment to the Lord is just to say, okay, if you want me to do this, I'm going to trust you and say yes to this. And I'm going to trust you with the implications of my obedience. But as soon as you tell me to stop, I am done. I will stop,
right.
And so I just have to hold it with this really, really with open hands. And it has been a beautiful thing to see him provide in such sweet ways for our family, for my husband and I, for our kids, as we've lived this surrendered yes. And it doesn't mean that it's not hard on some days,
sure.
But it has been a really sweet thing to see him meet us, even on the days when there is a cost to the obedience. It's felt like stepping off a cliff, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like when he asked me to leave home again, because I was already kind of doing the mom thing on the road with our little girl. Her whole first year of her life was in a van with me and my husband and her band. Oh, it was crazy. A different city every night, you know, kind of a wild journey. And so, it has been such a sweet thing to step off that cliff in obedience and then to see the ground kind of raise up underneath my feet. And it has been a really beautiful journey, man.
And I think that it's really easy when things are going well and things do feel good. It's really easy to have that faith and that remembrance that, see, the Lord has this. It's all good. Like, everything's working out. But that doesn't mean that in the times of struggle that he's not still there. And I love how you said he rises up the ground to meet your feet. It's like we still have to have that same amount, if not even more, faith during those times of struggle. And we have to have that same devout, unwavering faith that even in the hard stuff that feels icky, that he's still there. How do you reconcile on those days when you're leaving your home, your girls or your kids might be clinging to you and you're like, do I walk out that door? Or what do I, you know, how do you do that?
Yeah. Well, that's my least favorite part.
Sure. I'm sure.
To be real with you.
Mm-hmm.
It has been so, so sweet to know early on in taking Emily on the road. She was 2 months. We had just been at the hospital. She had hip dysplasia, so she had to be in like a little brace, which, you know, whatever. It was not the end of the world. It didn't bother her a bit, but it was really hard for me. Oh, Lord. So, and here I am in an RV, like traveling across the country, and I'm exhausted. All I am wanting to do is to do this parenting thing. Like, I've never loved somebody so much, and I just want to do this mom thing right. Like, I call myself a recovering perfectionist. So I'm like, oh, Lord, no. There are 1,000 decisions that I have to make every day about this baby, and I actually don't know the answer to all of them.
Yes.
Hard. But it was so sweet. It was so sweet, Jessica, because I was wigging out. I was like, Lord, I cannot do this. I cannot travel with this baby. I don't know how to work and love her. And I don't know how to even just take care of her. There's a lot of, like, I think that's a thing that you don't realize when you become a mom is like, you've actually never done this before. So you're not going to know.
Right.
And as a perfectionist kind of performer personality, I just wanted to know what the right thing was. And you read one blog and it tells you one thing, and then you read another blog and it tells you another thing. And you're like, no. So I was struggling. And it was so sweet. I actually climbed up just to take a nap. I handed Emmy Lou to my husband, she was actually in her car seat and he was giving her the bottle. I've just been pumping on the in an RV, you know, like, what is my life?
Where am I? What am I doing?
I am in an RV bathroom pumping.
Classy.
In the middle of nowhere on
Classy, Ellie.
I'm exhausted. And so I hand my husband the bottle. He gives it to Emmy Lou and I crawl up. I'm like, I need some space and I need to take a nap probably or something because I'm not okay. And it was in this moment that I really feel like God spoke to me, and I'm crying up on the little bunk in the RV, and I felt like he said, Ellie, I know that I've given you your daughter, and it is your job to take care of her and to grow her up in the way that she should go. But here's the deal. She is my daughter, and I am going to take such good care of her. So I'm like sobbing. Okay, Lord, that is so good to remember. And then he takes it even further and says this. I mean, not audibly, but I just kind of hear him saying this, you know, of going, and even though I have given you the job to be Emilio's mom, you are still my daughter, and I am going to take such good care of you. Mm. And man, that has been the deal of me just going, okay, I'm his kid before I'm a mom, before I'm an adult with a job, like I'm his daughter. And so if I can start there, from that place of knowing he's carrying me, then I can speak to my daughter and my son now, and to know that he's carrying them, even on the days that it's hard and when I'm not there, that he's got them. And I can say to my girl, even if she's like, Mom, I don't want you to leave, I can say, I don't want to leave either, babe.
Right.
But here's the deal. Here's what God has given us all good gifts to use. And he has written all the days ordained for our lives in his book before one of them came to be. And right now he's asked me to go speak and to sing about him to this group of people, wherever that I'm going that day. And the reason I'm going to go is because he's given you good gifts too. And he's going to ask you to go and to use them. And when he asks you to go and use them, I want you to go. I want you to say yes.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to walk in obedience now because I want you to walk in obedience to him now. And that may be today, saying something kind to your friend or to your brother or to your neighbor. And I want you to say yes to that adventure that he's calling you on today. So.
Yeah. And kids don't have that whole perspective, right? They don't understand the beginning from the end in their little 4-year-old or 1.5-year-old mind. But we can see better. And so, yeah, empathizing with them and helping them understand, like, I don't want to leave either. Like that emotion is fine, but this is why. And so this is your job and this is my job today. We're both going to do our jobs. And really reassuring them. I mean, there's plenty of moms that work full time outside the home, whether they choose or don't choose, whatever the circumstance is. And they have to walk out that door every day, regardless of whether they feel like it or not. And that has to be painful every day if your kids don't want you to leave. But that doesn't make it not okay for you to leave and do what you know you need to do.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. And to know, like, God's got them.
Yes.
And he's got you. And the thing that he's calling you to, he's called your kids to as well.
Yes,
you
know? No, totally.
And so I think for me, the deal is just holding it with the open hands of saying, okay, Lord, the moment, if you want me to trust you and quit, I will do that. Or if you want me to trust you and keep doing this, I will do that. And to know that he's got you and then he's got your family as well is a really sweet reminder for me.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I think too, sometimes we feel like we're it for our kids and we neglect to realize there are so many instruments of God all around working on the lives of our children and impacting them for good. So yes, we play a key role in the lives of our children, but so do our husbands, so do our neighbors, so do our church friends, so do their teachers. You know, they all are this village impacting our kids for good. And so you have your role outside the home sometimes, and sometimes you're with them, but like there's other people with them during the day that are impacting them for good as well. They may say something differently than you would have said it if that's really what they needed to hear. And I'm sure you feel like that too. Like if you go to a concert and you interact with, you know, a fan or with somebody, you know, also speaking or, you know, whoever you're interacting with, it's like, gosh, I needed that today. You know, and so if you don't do those things, you might limit that ability to interact with, like, and take in what you really needed to hear.
Oh man, absolutely. And I tell you what, I think it would have been really easy because I'm kind of that perfectionist kind of personality for me to go, I got this.
Sure,
I can do this. And it has been a really sweet thing to be stretched beyond imagination to know, like, actually, no, I don't have this, but God does. And look at the beauty of a community surrounding our family and surrounding our kids and surrounding me. I mean, it has been a really sweet thing to know, like, we are not in this thing alone. And I think sometimes the mama journey feels really lonely. And so it is such a sweet thing to even interact with other moms and other people's stories and to know, oh, wait, none of us are in this alone. And we're not meant to do this life alone. And yeah. That has been a really big gift for me.
And when you hear other stories from other people and you hear them going through something hard or a mistake that they made and them coming back from that, don't you extend so much grace to them? But then if it's you, you just beat yourself up to no avail. If you were if you heard your own story, you know, from somebody else, it'd be like, oh, you poor dear. Like, you know, you just need to relax a little. It's going to be okay. You did a great job. You did the best you could. But in our own mind, it's like we just are prisoners to our own shortcomings.
Right.
So how have you been able to kind of come to terms with that realization that we are all prone to do that, but that we don't have to be captive to that kind of thinking?
Right. Well, honestly, it has really been a gift to ground myself in God's promises. Mm-hmm. Like I go back all the time, especially because the mom guilt is real.
It's not going anywhere. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so to go back to his promises, to his word, and to say, okay, here's who you are. Here's the kind of father that you are. Here's who I am. Here's who you've made me to be. So I really have to fight those lies with promises from God's word. And that has been a hugely important journey for me to take, and that I continue to take, is why I keep writing his word into songs, because I keep needing to remind myself of what's true. Because I forget, I'm forgetful.
And so we all are,
on the days when the guilt is like literally overshadowing me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go back to God's word and to his promises and to the fact that he hides us in the shadow of Psalm 91. He hides us in the shadow of his wing, and he's a strong tower. And so to know that, like, I'm looking at my family, like I'm grounding my family and raising my family underneath the shadow of his wing. Do I not think that that's strong enough to, to withstand this trial or this guilt? And so it has been a really, practically speaking, going back to his promises and who he says he is my best way to fight those lies. Because I can kind of try to like muster up, like, no, it's okay, like talk myself back from the ledge. But for me, the thing that really changes and shifts my perspective is his word.
Oh, I love that. That's so good, Ellie. So how has motherhood changed you both as a person? And also, how has it impacted your music and the themes that you write about and the way that you're able to write music and things like that?
You know, I think it is like being a mom is basically like having like the world's best accountability partner with you all the time.
It's true.
It is just, honestly, like I get the privilege. I am so grateful for the privilege of, I am exposed all the time. And I have a little mini me who repeats the things that I say. So if I'm worried, I hear her start to repeat that. And then I go, oh my goodness. Okay. You know what? I worry about this too, Amy Lou. Here we go. Here's what we do with our worry. We take it to Jesus. he says we don't have to. And so it has been like the biggest gift to really like live out my faith.
Sure.
Because I literally am seeing a mirror of and a reflection of the way that I'm living out. And it is exposing to no end. You feel like naked sometimes.
Yes, it's so true.
Oh my goodness. You learned that from me. And sometimes those things are good and beautiful and sweet reminders. Like there are times that I'm like, oh my goodness, thank you for that reminder, Emmy Lou. Like, yeah, we need to pray for our friends right now. You hear me worrying about them and you're like, let's pray for them. And you've heard me say that before. So that is really sweet. And then sometimes she's picking up on the negative things
right.
too.
Yeah.
And so I get the opportunity all the time of saying, okay, let's take this worry, you know, back to Jesus, or this fear back to Jesus, or, you know what, I did not do that great. You know, that my tone of voice wasn't great. I'm gonna just going to ask for the Lord's forgiveness, and I'm going to ask for your forgiveness, and we're going to change your tone of voice. So it is this beautiful journey of living exposed and continually turning myself back to the Lord, and getting to live that openly in front of somebody is a really beautiful,
it really is like your 24/7 accountability partner. Like you can, I'm sure you've come across people like this who are one way on stage or out in public, and then who knows, you know, what's happening behind closed doors. You know, and we all kind of have that duality in some respect. But to have kids around all the time where you are seeing a reflection of yourself, and you're just really, most of us who are good moms, like, are just seeking to give them the best role model possible. It really keeps us accountable to doing our best, not perfect, but our best. And because that's what we want our kids to do. We want them to be their best self as well.
That's right. That's right. No, it is so, it's been like so sweet. I, you know, was thinking about it the other day because Emilia has gone, my little girl who's four has gone through seasons of loving, like just praying all the time, and then seasons of not really wanting to. And so I just was thinking about it the other day. I'm like, who taught me how to pray? And I'm like, okay, no, I did not go to a class like at Sunday school that was like, this is how you pray. My mama was praying all the time. And she didn't sit down. She wasn't like, Ellie, this is how you pray. She just was living it. Mm-hmm. She just was, anytime something was hard, she would just launch into prayer. And so I am like, oh man, what a gift that we get to just live. And we get to make mistakes, and we get to repent. We get to do all of that in front of and with our kids. And that is like, it's a relief for me to know that we don't have to do this thing perfectly, but if we're kind of turning back to the Lord, that a lot of that is caught, like they catch that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm really, really grateful for that.
And I think that's really a beautiful process, that we can show our kids that they do not have to be perfect. As we allow our weaknesses and our shortcomings and our mistakes to be exposed, but then we show them how to work through that. So a lot of kids are not taught that there's grace. A lot of kids are not taught that when you apologize, you can make better choices, or we should make better choices. They're not taught that you shouldn't beat yourselves up after you've made a mistake, and so they keep it inside. But to be able to come to your kids and say, Mom lost her temper yesterday. I should not have yelled. I should not have done whatever I did. And next time I'm going to do this instead. I'm really sorry. Can you forgive me? I mean, we're just modeling that process. And just like you said, there's good things that they mirror out of us, and there's, you know, not so good things. But when they are able to mirror that next time that they make a mistake, they're not going to beat themselves up. They're not going to, you know, not come clean about something, because they've seen it's okay to make a mistake from you.
Right.
Right?
It is. Honestly, and there are times when it's so funny, like my husband and I will get into literally not a screaming fight, just like where you can tell that it's, you know, we're just talking
it's
through
tense,
something
tense,
and it's a little bit more intense. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Emily will be like, guys, you need to slow down your voices and you need to be kind.
Okay, good reminder.
You're right, Emily, we do. But that's a really good, that's what we tell you all day long. So there you are repeating it back to us. And so I will say, you know what? You're right. I mean, like, mommy does need to slow down her voice. And so it is hilarious because she will repeat in front of, we'll have a friend come over later in the day and she'll be like, mommy had to slow down her voice to be kind. And I'm like, yep, that's right. There's no shame here. We're not going to hide anything.
We're an open book.
Be real. So it is, she is a verbal processor, man. So
That's awesome.
Know whatever I am walking through with her, it is going to be like repeated.
Yeah, exactly. And especially as an ex-teacher, I'm sure I was a teacher as well. You hear all these stories from their home lives and it's like, okay, I always tell the parents, if you believe 50% of what you hear about what happened at school, I'll believe about 50% of what I think is happening at your house that they're coming and telling me, right?
Yeah.
Exactly, because they just repeat. Well, like I said, I've just been loving your Red Sea Road album, and one of my favorite songs was called Wonderfully Made, and there was just a line that stuck out to me, Ellie. I just want to read it and get your thoughts. It says, what if I saw the me the way that you see me? What if I believed it was true? And I think as moms, people tell us we're doing a good job sometimes. Our husbands might tell us, our friends might tell us. We might, you know, see an example here or there that we are doing a good job. But most of the time, I think we're overly critical, and that's kind of where we land. But we know, a lot of us know, if we're a believer, that Heavenly Father has given us the utmost grace for any imperfections, any right doings, any wrongdoings. I mean, He just views us as His perfect child. And what if we, like, believe that? We can say it, that we know that's true, but believing it is taken to a different level, because if we're constantly, the affirmation we're telling ourselves is that we're not good enough and we're constantly messing up our kids, we don't truly believe it. So how do you do that? How do you take it from knowing that it's true, reading in the scriptures that it's true, hearing that it's true, hearing that there's examples where you're doing a good job, but then actually believing that it's true and believing the way that He sees you?
Yeah, you know what? This has been my journey, figuring that out. And I do not have it totally figured out, but this song came out of a conversation with my little sister, who's 10 years younger than me. I'm the oldest of five kids, and I kept getting brothers and praying for little sister, so she was the surprise at the end. But she was saying, Ellie, I don't have time to continue, like, to measure my worth based on what Instagram or what all the other people in my life or in the magazines or whatever are doing or looking like. She was like, I am so sick of this struggle of feeling like ashamed or not measuring up, you know? And she just says, what if I took God at His word? And I just thought that was the best question. And so I started on the days when I was having the shame storms rolling in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cause they do, of just saying, okay, this is a real thing that I feel this way, but here's what God says about me. And hanging on to His word. And there was actually a day, we had this conversation at the beach, of course, you know, it's like beach weather. Oh, great. Swimsuit season. Awesome.
Right.
Nothing looks like it did before the kids.
Never.
Mom scars, hashtag mom scars. So literally, like, I am just going, okay, Lord, what if I just, like, there's this verse in Psalm 34:4. That song comes from Psalm 139, which I love so much, that God knit us together in our mother's wombs, that all the days ordained for our lives were written in His book before they came to be. And I love that my sister was saying, like, I want to live those days that He's written in His book. Like, I want to be about His story and not just looking at my body or my story or my life and measuring up against everybody else's. I want to live the story that He's made for my life and, like, walk in the beauty of that adventure that He invites us into. And so we were at the beach, and I was just loved this conversation. I was actually out on a paddleboard in the ocean, and I was looking at this beautiful creation that God made, and that he says that I am more important than all of this, just little old me. I am, like, that He made me intentionally. And so I am just having this moment of, like, literally, like, singing to God at the top of my lungs, just, like, saying, okay, you know what? I don't feel great in a swimsuit right now, and that's okay. You say that I'm wonderfully made, and I'm choosing that over this. So I'm just having this moment of feeling like a kid again, like, just totally freed up, totally not caring what anybody else thinks of me. Now, I didn't think that anybody was way out. I was, like, pretty far away from the shore. So I'm like singing nonsense, like a kid at the top of my lungs. And I am like, okay, Lord, I want to live like this, free. And Psalm 34:4 says, those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. So I'm going, okay, Lord, if this is what it feels like to not be covered with shame, this is where I want to live. This is where this feels so good. And so I'm having this like moment with the Lord. A dolphin swims by. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. This is amazing. No, singing nonsense. And I promise you, like, I did not realize this, but there apparently was a sea kayaker like pretty close by.
Oh, gosh.
The dolphin swims by. And I hear this man's voice be like, pretty amazing, huh? And I look back and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so embarrassing. And it was, but you know what? I just looked at him because this is usually when the shame part would come in for me. I looked and I was like, you know what? Yes, it is. God made all of this and it is so good. And then I turned and I just went back to singing him.
Yeah, you go. Exactly. Good.
Man, it was just like, you know what? This is what he made us to do. To look into his face and to see the way that he is looking at us and just to see he is crazy about us. And I want to live like this. And so I wanted that song to sound like I was a little kid, like twirling around in a field dancing.
Wow.
For the love of knowing that I am deeply loved by God. And so I go back to that little paddleboard place a lot of days.
Wow.
When I get up and I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my gosh, there are so many wrinkles. Like, I'm not getting enough sleep. You know? Like, and to just go, you know what? But God loves me and he made me for this day. And there is a shift that happens when I am looking to him. Mm-hmm. And honestly, what happens is I stop looking at myself. And when I'm looking to him, I stop looking back at myself and I start looking out at the other people who's placed in my life. And that is a beautiful shift of perspective when you are fully like knowing that he's crazy about you and he made you just like you are. And he made you for good things to do.
Wow.
to shift from just this, oh, I'm not enough. Oh, I screwed that up to, oh, but he loves me, but he forgives me. And it is an amazing shift for me. And it's a practice every day. It's not like I have this down pat, but
wow.
It has been a sweet thing to lift my eyes from myself to him.
Wow. Oh, that was a great story. You are a great storyteller. Well, I think this is why I love singer-songwriters so much, is that these stories that are behind each of these songs make the songs that much more illuminated. And I think you need to come out with a whole other CD of just you telling me like where all these songs came from. Because another artist that takes, you know, performs beautifully, but takes songs from that other people have written, they don't have that same connection oftentimes to this music. But to pick, I'll never not picture you out on a paddleboard like a Looney Tune out in the water, like, okay, there she goes again.
Imperfectly in her swimsuit, but just singing to the Lord.
I love that. I love how you describe that the Lord is crazy about you. Because I think sometimes we feel like our friends might not be crazy about us. Our husband might not be crazy about us if we're just in a bad mood or we're not doing what we think we should be doing. But ultimately, he always is. And so there's always at least one person who's still on our side and still sees the best in us. And then our job is just to do the best we can to look to other people to make their lives better. And then ultimately, they'll like us better when we're doing that too. So there you go.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's like such a, there's an ease about who you are when you're looking at him. You know, you're like, oh, cool.
Wow.
Sweet. I just get to be me?
Wow.
Really?
I can do that. I can do that. How old are you? Do you mind?
I am 34.
Okay, so I'm 33. So I feel like with age, you care less about what other people think. And that's what I heard about the 30s. Like, you're getting into that place where you just care far less about looking to other people for your own inner satisfaction and self-worth. Was there a particular age where you started feeling that shift for you? Just curious.
Yeah, I love that. You know what? I honestly, like, around 30, remember my 30th year, I had been through some real good counseling by at that point in my life. And so, and I think for me, the invitation from my counselor was where there's truth, there's freedom. Mm. And so I think at that point in my life, I had learned to kind of stand up even in the broken parts of my story and to kind of own those. Because I spent most of my life running away from the places that I felt like were not good enough. And I remember telling my husband in my 30th year, I was like, you know what? Oh, I love being not perfect. This is so good. Like, this feels so good to not have to stress about like doing this thing perfectly, but to just stand up after I make mistakes and to own the mistakes that I make and to invite the love and the mercy of God into that. This is really good. So it was a shift around 30 for me. That was a really powerful thing. And that was after a lot of hard years of work in my 20s.
Yeah, so I think that number can be different for people depending upon when they start becoming, striving to become a little more self-aware, and maybe it's through therapy, maybe it's through just introspection or changing your
Sure.
social scene, whatever it is. There's different catalysts for people, but I would say it's similar to me as well. But as you enter your 30s, you just start looking more at yourself than what other people are looking at in you.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
good.
I love it. I love it.
I have a love-hate relationship with my 30s because it is that. I'm like,
Yeah.
oh man, I just get to be who God made me to be. All right, pressure's off. And then in the same breath, I think I have known more suffering in my 30s, just walking with friends through really hard things, and seeing the brokenness. And so there's this kind of beautiful like thing where you feel more confident in who he's made you to be, and then you're walking through things that are really, or for me at least, I've
Yeah.
walked through things that I do not know how to walk through. And so there's been this kind of beautiful shift of me going, okay, I don't have to know how to do this perfectly,
Sure.
and I get to see my not enoughness like collide into his more than enough.
Right.
Miss, and it has been a really a hard journey, but a really, really beautiful one.
Well, and I think what is character building without putting it to the test, right?
That's
So
right.
what if
Yeah.
you're super strong? So what if you're super faithful? So what if you're really courageous? If you don't ever get to use that for good, then what? So yes, you would never like wish these hard things upon the people in your lives or upon yourself or your
That's
family.
right.
But to be that person of strong character and that person of faith that has been tested to be there for somebody else through that, or to be there for even yourself during
Right.
that, and you're like, look at me go. If you had faced that 10 years ago, it's like you would have been washed away.
Oh
But
man. Yep.
today, hearing a cancer diagnosis, experiencing a loss, all these things that people go through in any number of situations, it's like you can do that. Like you can
Right.
survive that. You can wake up the next morning and you can help somebody else to wake up that next morning because you believe it and you're
You
living
walk through
it.
it. Oh man, listen, the past 2 years for our community have been some of the most painful. And you know what, even Jessica, I don't even know that I would say that I can, but like what I found out when like everything was crashing down around me and then a lot of people in our community, in the midst of like literally like what felt like just destruction, like so much pain, so much loss. What I found was in the middle of all that rubble, Jesus is right there in the middle
Yes.
of it.
Yes.
And he is with us and he's not leaving us. And because he's there, you're going, okay, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
And then you find out there's something about suffering and sorrow that connects our stories with every other human. Because everybody in some way knows sorrow or loss or a broken heart. And so there is a beautiful thing. And a sort of a kindred spirit
Yeah.
thing when you walk through hard things like that, you're going, okay, we are not alone. One, because Jesus is with us, and then
Yeah.
two, we are not alone because we here we are in this together, and
Yeah.
we get to walk with him and with each other through this, and that is a beautiful. It's right. You would never wish it, but man,
It
I
will
am so
come.
grateful
Yeah.
to know with confidence that God is who he says he is. He's faithful.
Yeah, and ultimately that strength that we do feel in ourselves is not ourself. It is
That's
him.
right.
It is him. And we're simply the hands and feet. So when you're able to be there for somebody
Oh,
else, it's not us to boast about
that's right.
ourselves and our own, look how strong I am to be with you. No. We are just the hands and feet. And
That's right.
we are walking beside him because that's what he would do if he was here,
That's, and
physically.
you know what is that is that mystery of like when I am weak, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses because when I am weak, he is strong. You're just going, oh yeah, this was not me. For sure. Like, I wouldn't respond like this
Sure.
in
Sure.
this circumstance. This is him. And for some reason, in those weak places, that is where he shows off. You know, it's just
Yes.
crazy. It's a
Wow.
mystery.
It is. It is. And we'll never understand it until we're with him, huh?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
still got some questions, you
Yeah, no,
know?
we all
Honestly,
do.
I'm like, okay, wow, I might have done that differently, but you were faithful. But you were faithful. So,
Yeah,
anyway.
Ellie, I've literally smiled through this entire conversation. You are so delightful and wise, and I pray before each and every episode that I record that it would be meaningful. You know, these stories are not just for people to like boast about themselves or tell me how great they are in their motherhood. It's
Oh, no.
literally to inspire other people through other people's stories. And the music that you write and produce and put out into the world, it's doing that. This conversation is doing that. And I know it's going to help a lot of people where they're at today. So I just thank you for sharing this message today. It's been so delightful, and I can't wait for people to listen. So I'm gonna link to everything on extraordinarymomspodcast.com where they can buy your albums and everything and definitely check out your music.
Great.
But is there anywhere else where people can follow you online?
Yes, absolutely. You will get all manner of motherhood on my Instagram, which is just Ellie Holcomb, and then on Twitter, Ellie Holcomb, ellieholcomb.com, iTunes, YouTube,
Perfect.
all the things.
All the things. Oh, Ellie, you've been so delightful. I always ask my guests one final question, and I almost forgot
Sure.
because I was just loving this too much. And it's this question: what would you tell your pre-motherhood self?
Ooh, yes, I love that. I would tell my pre-motherhood self that it is okay to not be okay. And that before you're a mom, it would be what the Lord told me early on in motherhood. Before you are a mama, more than knowing how to do this right, all you need to know is that you are his. You are his beloved daughter. And he's with you.
I love it. That's a perfect way to end. Thank you, Ellie. Thanks for taking the time to speak with me. Good luck on the rest. Are you continuing to tour?
Thank you. Yes, it's less busy now, thank the Lord.
Awesome.
It's just really 1 and 2 days gone at a
Okay.
time.
Oh, that's
So,
better than 11 out of 13. So that's good.
yep, we're through the
Awesome.
busy season, thank
Good.
Jesus.
Oh, well, you're amazing. Keep doing what you're doing. It is changing lives. I'm certain about that. And this was just such a delightful conversation. Thank you for
Oh,
sharing.
goodness. I loved it. Thanks so
You're
much for taking the
awesome.
time.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too,
Bye.
Jessica. Bye.
Oh, wasn't that just amazing? Ellie is truly extraordinary, both as a mom, as a singer. She's just delightful. And that whole conversation was such a joy to get to participate in. And I hope you love listening along. I love her perspective on motherhood and where we truly can get our identity from. When we're focusing on God's view of us, not the world's view or the view we have of ourselves, that is when we're really getting an accurate picture of who we are and what our worth is. And that is when we can really live this illuminated life that is truly extraordinary. So I want to thank Ellie for being on the show today. Like we said, I'm going to link to everything we talked about, including all of her albums, on the website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. You can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDahlquist3 or at Facebook, Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I love that you tune in every week. Share the show with a friend. If you like what you heard today, I'd love it if you would share. I love it when you leave reviews. It means so much and helps other people to find the show. So thanks for tuning in today. I hope everyone has an awesome day, and I'll see you next week for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Bye.